Good afternoon. So good to have you. Best group ever. Jesus loves Mondays, by the way. It's his favorite day. Therefore, it's my favorite day too. Kind of my assignment right now in terms of my own personal contemplation is, because we're doing Philippians on Wednesday nights, is just to read the book of Philippians over and over again. And then we've been meandering through the Gospel of John devotionally during the week, every day. But I really kind of heard the Lord say, just, I want you to spend time soaking in the upper room discourse. So it's not just like progressing, it's chapter 13 through 17, this last conversation Jesus had with his disciples before his crucifixion, just to contemplate on that, meditate on that, let soak into that, kind of like I'm doing with the book of Philippians, as if it was like a concise book, just those chapters. And so thus the going backwards, because we would spend a lot of time in chapter 14 lately, I think even 15 the other day. But this morning, and what happens again, this is where I spend time in the Lord in prayer. And as I'm praying, whatever the Lord speaks to me that's personal, that I write down in my journal, then I just sort of pass along here. Let me just read these short verses again and the part that got my attention. Because what my plan was today was just start back in verse 13 and read all the chapters as I'm praying, and then likely be further down the road in terms of the chapters, but I got stuck here, the very first part of this conversation Jesus had with them. Now, before the feast of the Passover, now there's a couple of places where Jesus says he knows something. That's a significant thing. Jesus knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the uttermost. Now the word here for uttermost is the same word that's on the altar here, tetelestai. And the best translation is actually, he loved them to perfection. And then the very next thing it says, so, my Bible says and, but the word could also be so or indeed. So it's a follow-up. He loved them to the uttermost, therefore, or so. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and girded himself about, and then poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. We often, when looking through John, have talked about Jesus' ministry. And there are several components, of course, to his ministry. He came and took us to the cross and in his person died for our sins. But he also came to reveal the truth about the Father. And so in John chapter 1, verse 18, it says about Jesus that no man had seen God at any time, but Jesus revealed him. And the language there is that Jesus revealed him exactly and in detail. So if you really want to know what God the Father is like, you see the life of Christ. It says that he's the exact representation of his nature in Hebrews chapter 1. And so they had a concept of the Father as a perfectionist. And because he was perfect, he was a perfectionist, and therefore his main attribute was judge. And nobody ever used the term Father. It was not allowed. It was too personal. It was too familial. But Jesus came and referred to God as his Father again and again. That's one of the reasons that they wanted to kill him, because it was offensive to them that Jesus felt so familiar to God that he would call him Father. Now remember that Jesus had come incarnationally. And even though he was God, very God, he was also 100% man and living out of his humanity, representing humanity, clothed in your humanity and my humanity, he's addressing God as Father. for us to know that humanity needs to understand that God is Father and that He's good. So when I was reading these scriptures, and I've again this morning, and I've talked about them so many times over the years, it just struck me, not just about Jesus showing us some things about love and about humility, but He revealed again the true nature of the Father. As I said to you a couple of times last week, in the Upper Room Discourse, in those five chapters that aren't very long, Jesus references the Father 123 times because He's trying to make a point. He's trying for them to see this is what the Father is like. And like A.W. Tozer said, the most important thing about us is what we believe about God. Now, the second most important thing about us is what we believe God believes about us, but we will not have a proper perspective about what God believes about us if we don't have the right perspective of who He is. And Jesus came to tell the truth about Him. And so in the scripture, and this is the part that struck me in a powerful way, that during supper, having already said that Jesus knew He was about to go be with His Father, it says, in light of the fact that Judas Iscariot, the devil, already put in his heart to betray Him, and down in verse 11, it says, for He knew the one who was going to betray Him, and for this reason He said so and so. So God had revealed to him and shown him that it was Judas who was going to betray Him. He knew that. Also, a couple of things about these other guys. This is in Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, He says in verse 31, and this is just before His crucifixion, He says to them, you will all fall away because of Me this night. And then later it says that all the disciples left Him and fled. And so these men that He's in this upper room with, whose feet He's about to wash, they're going to all fall away, and they all fled and deserted Him. Only one came back to the cross later, and that was John, but he's the only one. Also about Judas, in verse 50, He says, and Jesus said to him, friend, this is in Gethsemane, do what you have come to do. Now again, understand that in this place in John 13, having made a point, the Holy Spirit said during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Him, Jesus knew He was the one who was going to betray Him. He also knew that all His other disciples were going to abandon Him at His most profoundly difficult time. Let me read one more. If you've been around CTK a lot, you've heard me read these verses, but they're so powerful. This is also in the upper room, after Jesus washes their feet. And Jesus talks about again, He says, for indeed the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man whom He's going to be betrayed. And Jesus said, behold, the hand of the one betraying Me is with Me on the table. And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. Can you imagine how that conversation went? And immediately it says in the next verse, and there arose also a dispute among them as to who was going to be the greatest. So this is the group that He's with. Let me refresh John 13. And then it says in verse 3, after telling us that the devil already put it in Simon's heart, Judas's heart, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. What does that mean? Jesus was conscious of the fact that He had been given universal power and dominion. He knew that was His. He was conscious of it. The Holy Spirit wants us to know that. That the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come forth from God and was going back to God. So Jesus, in this moment, knowing that all power, all authority, Matthew 28:18, He said, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to Him, that all power, all authority, all dominion was His, that His origin was from God. He had come forth from God, and He was about to go back and return to the glory from which He had come. Knowing those things, not just knowing them, but in that moment being conscious of those things, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel. He got a basin, got his hands and knees, and washed the feet of people who were going to betray him, going to abandon him, who were arguing among themselves who was going to be the greatest. Then what does that say to me? That Jesus here, one of the things he's doing is revealing to us the true nature of the heart of the Father. That in the presence of men who are absolutely failing him, one whom he called friend was going to totally betray him. One who was the leader, Peter, was going to deny him three times. All the rest of them were going to abandon him. And so a Jewish understanding, and sadly to a lot of Christians, understanding of God is that he would turn his back on people like that because he's holy and he can't look on sin and would be disgusted with that kind of sin. And Jesus is trying to destroy, smash that concept of who God is. He says, this is who God is. In light of who we are at times. These were the disciples. In light of our brokenness, in light of our betrayal, in light of our denial at times, in light of our abandoning him when he needs us to speak up at times on his behalf, in light of all that, knowing who he was, conscious that he had all dominion, all authority, all power, that he was King of kings and Lord of lords, that he had come from heaven, that was his origin, he was royalty, he was going back to the glory from which he had come. Knowing, being conscious of that, he revealed the truth about the Father. And the scripture says in John 14:10, it was the Father who did the works through him. And so Jesus revealed the Father, and the Father in the person of Christ got on his hands and knees and washed their feet. That's who he is. This is not when they were at their best. This is when they were at their worst. And the Father revealed who he was and what his love looks like. He's not the kind of Father that abandons us, even though we sometimes abandon him. He's not the kind of Father who's disgusted with and wants to turn his back on our dirty feet. He's the kind of Father who in humility, because it takes humility to love, and God is love, and so he's the greatest expression of humility, gets on his hands and feet, hands and knees, and doesn't turn his face to our dirty feet, but washes them, cleanses them. This is why he said, and he loved those who were in the world, and he loved them to perfection. Because this is what perfect love looks like. This is what the Father's heart looks like. Are there people in your life who you're not sure you can trust, who have wounded you, who have betrayed your trust, who have abandoned your trust, whose dirty feet in your eyes are very glaring? This way of life that Jesus called us to walk, those are the very people that we humble ourselves before. If we're going to reveal the truth about Jesus and not talk about their dirty feet with others or be disgusted with their dirty feet or avoid them or create boundaries, but in humility, we love them. Because that's who God is. That's how God treats us. And none of us have ever complained about that. See, what Jesus is what this Jesus is revealing in his humanity is glorious freedom. There's no embarrassment here. There's such transparency here. There's such vulnerability here. There's such unconditional acceptance here. There's such unconditional affection here. I mean, this is a classic, perfect example of Jesus said he'd come forth from God in light of humanity, absolute despicable fallenness. Jesus, as God, said, Father, we're going in. This is a rescue. This blew me away. Especially the part when he says, and Jesus being conscious of who he was, where he would come from, his nobility, and being conscious of that, he didn't stand aside and say, no. He fulfilled Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfishness or empty self-glory, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.